Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's fucking minging, though.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Roker Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. And I'll be honest with you, I cannot be bothered to do this tonight. I mean, we've just witnessed Sunderland put in probably the worst possible display that they could have at this point in the season against Wigan. I've spent the last week telling everyone to be a happy clapper, and I'm still trying to remain positive, but in the immediate aftermath of the game, it's very, very difficult to see any positives whatsoever from what we've just witnessed. And join me to discuss this delightful performance from Sunderland. Our bomber in Gloucester. Bomber, I've just seen you take a big sip of whiskey there, so that kind of sums everything up to me. You're just going to drink your troubles away tonight.
Yeah, I'm proper deflated and sad, mate.
Yeah.
It was something that showed so much promise a week ago or a week and a half ago is now, you know, like I said, it's just gone for the minute.
That's Sunderland, isn't it, for you? And I'm also joined by Martin, who is joining us at, what is it, Martin? Like, 5:30 nearly in the morning in Australia. So you've been up probably since 2:30, 3:00, and then you had to sit through that.
Well, it's quite a respectable 5:15 in the morning now when the alarm went off at 2:50 to drag myself out of bed to watch the match. I did question my sanity, which I am doing even more so now.
Yeah, some of those fans I've interviewed this week from around the world, they'll all be getting up at daft o'clock just to watch that. And I'm sure some of you are listening to this. Maybe I feel like I've had it bad, but no, you guys have definitely had it worse. Let's not waste any time and get straight into the performance then, Martin. I mean, your immediate thoughts on that, I guess. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, to try and really to think with a clear head about this at the minute.
It is, and you know, ultimately it's a really disappointing performance, really disappointing result, and I think, you know, coming off the back of Saturday, which at the time I thought was a bit of a blip. I thought Saturday was a game that could have gone either way. 8 times out of 10, we probably would have won. Tonight was just shite. I think, you know, second half, anyway, I think, you know, you talk about a game of two halves, and I think that was almost a game of two halves, apart from the last 5 minutes of the first half. I think, you know, we can delve into the performance, and I think, you know, there was some positives in the opening spell, where we looked as if we had a little bit of the swagger back that we'd had earlier under Lee Johnson, but for whatever reason, it all went to absolute shit in the second half, and we just did not look like a team battling for promotion, battling for relegation or anything. We just looked completely devoid of ideas. We weren't in the races, and it was just such a massive come down from what we've seen over the past couple of months, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're nodding there, Bomber. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. And like I said, right when you're doing the introductions, Gav, everything was, at Easter, everything was looking so good for us, and we were all so positive. And I think I've got a pinned tweet on my Twitter account saying if we get 4 points from the Easter break, we're going to win the league. And I couldn't look any more foolish right now. Similar to what Martin said, it was, if ever there was a stereotypical game of two halves, that was probably it. But it was just a complete lack of like any sort of urgency or fight or desire. Considering what's at stake, to go once we conceded that equaliser, and even when we went 2-1 down, there was just nothing. We didn't look like a team that are trying to catch the top two and get automatic promotion to the championship. We just looked like our season was done, and we were just in, you know, a mid-table position. It's like, oh, let's just get this season out of the way, lads, and play the last few games. That's what it smacked of to me.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, when you see, and I know a lot of us have said, try not to look at Hull and Peterborough and what they're doing, but they are like playing these teams and they're beating them early in the first half, you know, they're not dragging it out. I mean, Sunderland, although we've for a long time looked a lot better than I would even say Peterborough and Hull, their form's levelled out at this stage, where ours has just like gone to shit. Like last couple of games, really difficult to try and put a positive spin on it, to be honest, and tonight tops it off. I mean, this was, when we looked at the last 10 games of the season, this was the game in hand. This was the one everyone looked at and said, well, we're going to... They basically just discounted it. I was probably one of them. Looked at it and went, Wigan, there's 3 points, you know.
Yeah.
That's our game in hand on Hull. So we're going to win that. I mean, Wigan are fighting against relegation. They needed to win tonight. I said this on the pod the other day. Sometimes when you come up against a wounded animal, it's the worst possible situation, because they're fighting for more than we are, really, when you think about it. I mean, Wigan, who've played in the Premier League not too long ago, could drop into League Two. They need to stay up as much as we need to go up. So it was always going to be a difficult ask, I think. But that doesn't excuse the performance for me. I mean, defending on set pieces in the last couple of games has been terrible. And today, both goals were just awful. Awful. I mean, you can't even defend it. They haven't really had to work hard for the win. That's the most embarrassing thing about this, and the toughest thing to take, I think. I mean, we'll go through each player and we'll talk about what Lee Johnson got wrong and all the rest of it. But as a collective, they just didn't turn up. They didn't turn up, and for a team who were literally a midge's dick away from like breaking the top two, for them to put in a performance like that is not good enough. It's not good enough. And
I just don't get it. Like, because, you know, we've had this really good run for the last, what, two months, haven't we? And we'd seem to have built up that head of steam, that momentum. And the players seem to really believe in the, you know, what Johnson's been telling them, in the outcomes that we've been getting from games. And like, as we've said, you know, on a number of occasions, we haven't necessarily always played brilliantly, but the players have had the mentality to get over the line however we needed to get the 3 points. And, you know, for that mentality before the Charlton game, that mentality seemed to me to be a strong mentality that was running through the squad. And it's really concerning that one defeat against Charlton has absolutely evaporated that belief and that confidence, because as soon as Wigan got that equaliser, the belief, you could see the belief was just sucked out of the players.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, they didn't want the ball, they didn't want to do things, try things. They were playing safe, and there was just no courage on the ball to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and get those points. And, you know, if we can't do that, we're absolutely stuffed for this season.
Yeah, it looked like a completely different team, didn't it? Like you said, for a team that, you know, when we in the build up to the Checker trade final and in the games following that, we were all on here week after week saying, you know, how good is it to see the players enjoying themselves, looking confident. You know, we as fans, even if we went behind in a game, which in that run was relatively rare, but even when we went behind, we just had every confidence, and the players looked like they had confidence to get back into it and come away with 3 points, even going a goal down or going up and then being equalised against. But the last 2 weeks, it just looks like it's a completely different team. It looks back to that team that, you know, goes a goal down and ends up scratching their head and wondering, what the hell are we going to do now?
Okay, we'll go through the 4-word reviews. I gave everyone an extra word tonight because I knew there would be swear words in there.
To an insert an expletive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to give people an extra word when they're going to be swearing. So quickly flick through some of those. Lemmy Finnegan says, Sunderland did a Sunderland. Matt Padgett says, useless, shambolic. See you next Tuesdays, knobheads. Mark from Ithic says, fuming, McFume face fume factory. Daniel Jenks says, Parky in Johnson suit. Ooh. Pablo Newtavern says, fuck you, Phil Parkinson. Glenn Fess is horny for League One. David Hamblin says, prolific at Wembley nowadays. Tom Mua says, the balls have shriveled. Gaz Fisher says, see you next season. Thomas J says, huge opportunity fucked completely. Neil Chandler, white fucking dog shit. Leon Fryett, biggest bottle jobs possible shite. Ian Richardson, classic Sunderland, absolute bottle jobs. Glenn says, stop fucking tinkering, please. Dorf says, what's our playing style? Adam Thika says, paid money for Stewart. Simon Wynyard says, always the same shite. And Alex will end on says, fucking waste of time. Yeah, everything along the same. Everyone's just pissed off, frustrated, and probably thinking along the same lines as us. I mean, to be honest, I don't feel angry. I feel really disappointed. I just feel really, really let down that the players just didn't turn up and that the manager didn't turn up either. You know, he got it wrong just as much as the rest of them did. And on that note, let's jump into player ratings. I'm going to give everybody 3 at a time just so we can blast through them and then maybe whinge a bit more at the end about the overall performance and state of play. I'll start. I'll go with the first 3, which are Lee Burge, Bailey Wright and Deion Sanderson. Burge, I've gave a 6 in the first half and then a 5 at full time. I don't really know why I gave him 5. I think it's just because he conceded 2, but I wouldn't say he was at fault for either goal. He was really let down by the defence in front of him today, I think. Bailey Wright, considering it was his first game back, I think I've probably been a bit nice to him and gave him a 5. I've seen a few people slagging him off on Twitter at the end, and they were probably right. He didn't play particularly well, but then he was thrown in at the deep end coming in for Conor McLaughlin during the warm-up and probably didn't expect to play more than maybe 10-15 minutes at the end. So considering he came in, I think the first half he was a bit of a threat in their box, but you could probably attribute some of the blame for that first goal to him. So I've got him down as a 5. And Sanderson, I thought again, like Wright, was poor for the first goal, went missing. And that's probably one of the things that's went under the radar the last few weeks. Deion Sanderson's not been as good as he perhaps was when we were on a good run, which is understandable. He's a young player, so his form's going to drop if the whole team's does. But yeah, I don't know if anybody disagrees with those marks at all. I think it's difficult to mark the defence today considering we conceded 2 crap goals.
No, well, I gave Wright and Sanderson both 4s because I thought they were poor. I've not given Bailey Wright the credit that you perhaps have for coming back in. And Lee Burger gave a 6. I said nothing could do with either of the goals, just offered very, very little protection. And he can ask questions of his defence.
Yeah, OK, you can take the next 3 then, Bomber. We've got Luke O'Neill, Denver Hume and Josh Schoen. That was Denver Hume's first start since he returned from injury. The other two, probably.
Yeah, so I'll start with Hume because that's probably the highest mark of the 3. It's still a 6. Some of the notes that I've got, I said you can still tell that he's bringing that sharpness back. He wasn't as effective or as direct as pre-injury, but you can see he's getting there. There are times on the ball where he's looking all right and he's looking to go direct. I thought he was all right defensively. I don't think he kind of threw any major ricks or errors in there, but he's just not as effective as he was pre-injury. But that's going to come. I can't really pick him out for anything in particular that he did wrong. So it's a 6. The other 2, so O'Neill I've given a 4. For me, O'Neill, whenever he has blame for a goal, and he's probably been at fault for 3 of the last 4 goals that we've conceded, it always is from the exact same thing. So he's either got too tight to his man,
yeah,
and been turned far too easily. Like that goal, I forget who scored it now, the first Wigan goal. He's just too tight to the man, and he's taken half a yard to the side, and he's kind of like half volleyed it in, and 2 or 3 goals we've conceded that way, and it's all been on the back of Luke and I getting too tight and over-committing, trying to win the ball. I think Danny Collins has mentioned it on the commentary a couple of times as well.
So
it's a 4 from him. Poor. Was marginally better out at right back than at right centre-back or left centre-back, wherever it was he ended up playing. But yeah, not very good from him at all. And who was the other one, Gav? Scowen?
Scowen, yeah.
Yeah, so I've given Scowen a 5. I've put plenty of industry, lacking quality. Scanlon's never going to, I've said this before, Scanlon's never going to be a 7 or 8 out of 10 player on these ratings anyway, because he's not that sort of player. But the things that he does do well, he wasn't particularly great at. He was okay at, but he wasn't particularly great at. But yeah, plenty of interest in industry, lacking quality, 5 out of 10.
Max Power, Jack Diamond and Aidan McGeady, Martin. Power was yanked off pretty early after playing poorly, but...
Or was it, is that like that Rodney Marsh story when he played for... Was it Rodney Marsh when he played for England and he said... The manager had said to him, if you don't play well in the first half, I'm going to pull you off at half-time. He said, well, at Man City, we only get oranges. Max Power, I think Power's kind of failed to really control that game. And look, I think like the rest of the team, he started off pretty well, and he was kind of prompting the team. And, you know, the team really pressed well in the first 20 minutes or so, but Power kind of really fell off badly. And, you know, the second half, when you want your captain to step up and take the game by the scruff of the neck, he went missing with everybody else. So I've given him a 4. Just because I expect better from him as well. As the captain, we need better from him.
Yeah.
Jack Diamond, I thought Jack Diamond was excellent in the first 35, 40 minutes. I was really surprised to actually see him in the starting lineup. I thought it was a bit of a... The team selection kind of smacked a little bit of a roll of the dice from Johnson and see what we could do. And obviously we'll come on to Johnson later on. But I thought Diamond did really well in the first half. He was pressing well. He was driving the players. He was getting to the byline, getting across the byline into the box. And I thought he actually did well. And you know, to be fair to him, in the first half I had him down as an 8. And, you know, he got took off after, you know, a disappointing 15 minutes of the second half like everybody else had. So I'd probably give him maybe a 6.5 or a 7. I thought he was probably our best player when we get to man of the match. But no, I thought he did well. I thought, you know, given that he hasn't played much at all over the past few months as well, I thought he did well. And he did it at Wembley as well, didn't he? He had a great sort of cameo at Wembley, which he's disappeared again from the team since then, really. So... I was pleased to see him back. I like Diamond. And then who else? Did I have McGeady?
Yeah, McGeady.
I don't like McGeady in that central role, I have to say. I don't think it really plays to his strengths, but I thought he did. Again, he was one of the players who did well in the first half. Set up the goal with a lovely, lovely ball in. And he looked to get on the ball and make things happen in the first half. Again, second half disappeared. So overall, I've given him... I've got 5.5. He can toss it up between a 5 and a 6, but again.
I'll be honest. I agree with you. I think Aidan McGeady, good assist, but did he do anything other than that? Really,
He's good. The thing, like, in that second half. Sorry, Bomber. Like we needed McGeady. We needed Power. Those are the players we needed to take that game and lift the rest of the team. If everybody else is down, you know, down for whatever reason, those are the players we need to step up and really take the game by the scruff of the neck. And both of them have failed to do that today.
Yeah,
I think the thing with McGeady is in that, I think, I can't remember who said it. I was on a podcast the other week. I think it might have been Matty Crichton said that McGeady in that 10 role, or that role just behind the striker, on paper is absolutely perfect. In reality, whilst he's good at finding himself in pockets of space, but kind of between the lines, McGeady's strength, and he's most lethal for us when he's getting a fullback one-on-one and he's beating the man either on the outside or on the inside and delivering or shooting. And, you know, when he's picking the ball up in those central areas, he can only go left or right. And whichever direction he chooses is against his natural instinct to cut in because he's going out wide. So in reality, McGeady's nowhere near as effective as perhaps he should be on paper, at least. In that central berth behind the striker, and it showed today. He wasn't anywhere near as effective.
Yeah, I'll take the last two then. Jordan Jones, I've given a 5-2, probably his worst performance for Sunderland. I'd say nothing came off for him. I mean, he did win us some free kicks in the first half, which were useful because they were around the box, and he just seemed to get worse as the game went on. I think I'm probably being generous with a 5, to be honest. But that's probably, for me, the worst game he's had in a Sunderland shirt.
I don't know how the left-back didn't get a booking, mind, in the first half.
I
don't know how the left-back didn't get that booking, like.
Yeah.
Chopped him down, didn't he?
Yeah. And Charlie White, I've given a 6-2. I'm glad he's back on the score sheet, but just offered us nothing other than that. Like, I think I would have scored the from the cross that McGeady put on a plate to him. I mean, you've got to credit him, I suppose, for the run and timing it well, but I would like to see him. Like, I think Will Keane for them was brilliant today. He was all over the pitch. He was linking up the play. He was our centre half, struggled to deal with him. It was like a proper centre forward performance from Keane. And I was like, you know, sometimes I wish I would see that from White, like that sort of all action centre forward who gets on the score sheet, but also is very influential. And you know, that sort of highlighted his performance to me because their striker had a good game. I'll blast through the subs quickly and all because I think there's probably only one of them worth talking about. McFadden did very little for me. Same with Leadbitter. They both came on at the same time. Don't really think they offered us anything, but I gave them sixes. Gooch, I think, actually, considering he's been poor for a few weeks, did okay. Danny Collins highlighted it a few times about how well he done just getting down the line and crossing the ball into the box, but we just didn't capitalise from any of it. And Ross Stewart, I thought, was poor. I just thought he was like a plank up front. Just made us worse, actually, for him being on the pitch up there. He'd done nothing right. And I've gave him a 5, and again, I'm probably being generous. I know I've just quickly shot through 6 there, but is there anything you disagree with, lads? Because I think those are pretty simple ones to rate tonight.
Gooch, for what? How long was he on? Half an hour or so? Half an hour is probably the best half an hour he's had in a good 3 or 4 weeks for us. He was a 7 for me until that he made the stupid tackle like 3 minutes into added time when all we needed to do was just make sure the ball didn't go out of play so they could waste more time. And he went steaming out and put this stupid foul in. So that dropped into a 6 for me. But the others, I've literally written nothing for them apart from Stuart was poor.
Yeah, fair play. So man the match, then I guess you're going to say Diamond Martin, considering you said he was probably yours. I would agree with you, actually. That's what I've got written down.
Well, it's not much competition.
No, nothing. So. He was definitely our best player, and I was scratching my head when he came off. But we will get onto that when we start talking about Lee Johnson in a second. Do you disagree with that, by the way, Bomber?
I can't disagree with it. I think I've been a bit belligerent with it, and I because he was the only person who I didn't see do anything wrong, I actually gave it to Lee Burge just for the crack, because he was the only player that genuinely didn't do anything wrong.
I concede 2 goals, but we'll not. To be fair, you're right. I said the same when I marked him.
Maybe a little bit tongue in cheek, but I've just given it for Burge because I think he's the only one who didn't do anything wrong.
Feels a bit pointless giving a man the match when you've played anyways, doesn't it? Onto the manager then. This is why I wanted to blast through those ratings, because tonight I think this is the first time where I think he's just got, other than the team selection, which I think on paper looked all right, did he do anything right today? I mean, tactically we looked crap. He threw 4 subs on at once. Again, people are starting to highlight this as a problem because it's like being the last 4 games or something. We've been that dire that he's had to throw loads of subs on to try and change the game. What does that say about your initial plan, you know? I mean, what do we think about Johnson tonight? Am I being a bit harsh by saying what I've said there, or is a little bit of this on him?
With 40 minutes of the game gone, I was sat there going, thinking to myself, we look like a promotion winning side.
Yeah.
We controlled it.
We had the swagger, we were playing well, and for whatever reason, we've developed this really soft belly from set pieces. We conceded 2 on Saturday from set pieces, and we conceded 2 tonight from set pieces.
Yeah.
And you know how much you can actually put on Johnson's management of the game as opposed to the coaching that's going on during the week and all that sort of stuff, I don't know. Whatever he said to them at half time was completely the wrong thing, wasn't it? Because we looked absolutely dire in the second half. And whatever he said to them to spur them on to go out and, you know, because that was a must-win game. Let's make no bones about that. That if we want to go up automatically, tonight was a must-win game. We haven't done it. So that half-time team talk was the biggest test of his career at Sunderland to date, to my mind.
Yeah.
And he's categorically failed it because we looked appalling in that second half. The 4 subs thing, it's almost like when Parkinson got into that, he stumbled upon a formation, stumbled upon a starting 11, and he didn't want to change it because he thought, oh, that works, brilliant, we'll keep doing that. And, you know, Johnson, the force-ups paid off for Johnson against Peterborough. So he's tried it on Saturday, it didn't work. He's tried it tonight, it didn't work. And if you happen to make four subs after 60 minutes of a game three times in a row, you're not getting something right to start with.
Yeah, totally right. Anything to add there, Bomber?
No, I think not really. The only thing that I would say, he's kind of obviously living and dying by that four substitutes thing. And he made it clear, very clear in his post-match in the Charlton game that certain players left, you know, let him down. And that he'd need to think about making changes. So I can only assume that he takes that mentality. Like, he gives players a job to do, and if by 60 minutes they're not doing it, irrespective of whether it's one person not doing it or four people not doing it, they're coming off. And I can only think that's why he's doing it, and he's living and dying by that. And when it pays off, we all talk about it being great management and great game management, and when it doesn't, we all question it. Time will tell whether or not it's a good tactic or not, because if we win more games than we lose by him doing it, it'll be good management. But yeah, I was less scratching my head today by some of the decisions. It was definitely one of his poorer tactically, certainly second half. And like Martin said, whatever he said to them at half time obviously sent them to sleep, because they just were not bothered.
Is promotion dead then, Martin, in terms of automatic promotion? I mean, what do we have to do you think, to go up automatically? I think, by my mind, we just have to win every game now, and that's going to be difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we're looking for snookers now, aren't we, to get up automatically, and I think it's, you know, I think the bookies will probably reflect that we are major outsiders out of the three teams to get one of those automatic two positions. But look, we've got to still, you know, have that focus that promotion is eminently achievable this season.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the playoffs if we don't go up automatically, which it's looking unlikely now. And I think, you know, the challenge for Lee Johnson, and it's, you know, we've been critical of him tonight, and rightly so, but let's remember he's done bloody well over the past few months since he's come in. He's done a really good job. And, you know, he's still obviously hampered by the squad makeup that he was left with. And, you know, you talked about Charlie Wyke there earlier, Gav, with, you know, comparing him to Will Keane. But, you know, we started off the season with Charlie Wyke and Danny Graham as our two strikers, and we can only ever play one way with those type of strikers.
Hmm.
And, you know, Charlie Wyke's obviously had a great run of form. And Marco Gabbiadini had a thing on Twitter where he caused a bit of controversy by saying, you know, the elephant in the room was that Charlie Wyke can only score one type of goal. But it is one, and he scored exactly the same type of goal tonight, the ball into the box and the first time finish. And that's his goal. You know, I made a comment during the game, you know, if we had a player like Kevin Phillips in that team, who could pick the ball up from 30 yards, drive at the box, put one in the top corner, do the work out wide, you know, that team would be far better. And Lee Johnson's really hampered by that lack of forward options. You know, he hasn't necessarily helped himself by signing Ross Stewart in January, but, you know, we don't know what else was available. So I think he's got to find another way of us scoring if we're going to go up. And that's the big challenge for him, because, you know, we had so many set pieces tonight. We had, 11, 12 corners. We had three kicks from outside the box, and we never threatened once.
Mm.
And if we can't score, if we can't find a different way from scoring from open play, we've got to maximise those set pieces, because otherwise we're going to come up short.
Yeah, the other elephant in the room, and we haven't even touched on this, where's Chris Maguire? Like, what's he doing playing for the 23s? In a game like that tonight, that's the type of player I want to put on. I don't want to be putting Ross Stewart on. I want to be putting Chris Maguire on. Somebody who can rifle it in from 25 yards. Like, this is one thing I've got to try and get my head around a bit, is why is he clearly not in favour of Maguire? Maguire's not been in his thinking since he came in, has he, really?
No.
He sort of forced his way in at one stage by coming off the bench and scoring that great goal against Crewe that, again, came from behind, and Maguire was the man who scored the equaliser. I'm telling you now, in the situation we were in tonight, we needed Chris Maguire on that pitch, and we didn't have him on the bench. Maybe
still
that's something.
Still Parkinson's Aidan McGeady.
Yeah, well, I actually think Johnson's got to look at it and go, is it really? There's obviously a problem there. I'm going to guess it's the thing that's plagued Maguire through his career. He's not a great trainer. That's well known. I'm presuming he's just not cutting it in terms of preparation before games with the manager, because that's always been Maguire's problem through his career. But does Johnson have to look at it and think, I might have to just stomach this for a few games because I need a player like that in my squad? Like, I know Gooch came on and did okay tonight, and he can be a match winner. But when you're throwing McFadden on and Ledbetter and Stewart, I'm just sat there thinking, you need that option off the bench when you're losing 2-1 and you're playing a team who are struggling and concede goals. You need a Chris Maguire on the pitch. And that's not really been talked about. And maybe because the results have been okay, that's maybe why we've not talked about it much. But tonight, he would have been a massive, massive plus to have amongst those options on the bench for me.
I was going to say, Chris Maguire's got a bit of a reputation for himself of scoring big goals, of scoring good goals, and getting us out of shit, basically. Mm. If there's one person out of anybody else who's not starting tonight that you would want on the bench, it is Chris Maguire. And he was completely missing. And, you know, there's a danger of Johnson cutting his nose off to spite his face a little bit in not selecting him. Even if it's just for those moments where you need a goal, you need to get back into a game. Whether you like it or not, he's got the capability of turning a game on its head in just a single moment, in 30 seconds of play. Mm-hmm. So he needs to be there as an option.
Yeah, okay, we'll round off there, lads. I've depressed everyone enough by having to talk about that game. Who do we play next? I mean, this is one thing I've not really done.
Blackpool.
Blackpool, of course. Yeah, we're playing Blackpool. It's the first of two games coming up. A team who are right up our backside in the playoff places.
Beat Peterborough
3-1 as well. Four games.
Yeah, they're a team who I don't really fancy playing right now, but Martin said it before, until it's over, we can't just throw the towel in. Sunderland still can go up automatically. Things have got to go our way. We've got to keep winning games. That's the challenge that Johnson's got to set the players. You're now underdogs. Everybody was talking about how Sunderland, it was a formality that Sunderland were going to go up automatically. Now, we're out of favour because we've had a couple of bad results. And the challenge he has to set those players is you have to win every game. You have to go out there. You have to prove why you're good enough, because when Peterborough Hull do slip up, you need to be ready. You need to be ready to jump in and sort of catch them off guard.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to say just in closing, Gav, on that is we can't give up. Until it's mathematically impossible. I know it's a cliche, you just can't give up. You look at the last 6 weeks. In the last 6 weeks, Peterborough have lost to Burton. They've drawn with Rochdale. They've lost to Blackpool. In that same period of time, Hull have drawn with Gillingham, drawn with Shrewsbury, lost to Ipswich. There's, you know, other teams are going to drop points. I would say before these last two games, I'd say we could afford to lose two of our last eight games. We can't even drop another point now, but it's still on. It's definitely still on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's probably a good note to end on because,
yeah,
it's maybe, I think clearer heads tomorrow morning, people might think a bit more along those lines. And when they're listening to this, people will probably have calmed down a little bit. And maybe that's the way people will think about things over the coming weeks. But we said this weeks ago, we have to take one game at a time, but it's massive now with this Blackpool game. We have to beat them. We have to just keep on winning. That's a challenge that Johnson has to set the players, like I said. But yeah, thanks for joining us, lads. Always good to catch up, regardless of the fact Sunderland was shit. Always enjoy talking. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back at the weekend. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.